Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Season's greetings once again, Grapple fans. Welcome to this very special edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. It's time for our end of year review. So we're going to have a look back at 2017 and pick out some of our favourites, our best, worst moments of the year, and a few other little categories in between. And when I say we, that of course doesn't just mean me. It does mean I've got back in with me Mr. Mo Chatra and Mr. Guy Drinkle. Good evening once again, gentlemen.
All right, Andy.
Good evening, both. The North East Connection.
Oh, God. He's listened to the show.
Oh, yes, yes.
The Way I Brothers.
Know, yeah. That's it.
Oh, we'll have to think of a terrible tag team name, but never mind. So come on then, 2017. First of all, before we start cracking into the actual categories, overall, how do you think it's been 2017 WWE? Do you think it's been a good year or just a pretty average year or a very disappointing one more?
I went into it with really, really high hopes because I look at the roster, or certainly the roster that started the year, and I thought, now, this is, on paper, the strongest roster the WWE's had. It's, you know, certainly from an in-ring perspective. I mean, in terms of things like large-than-life characters and personalities and promo ability, you know, there have been times in the past when you can say, you know, they had a stronger group of talent. But, you know, certainly when it comes to in-ring, I thought, you know, this would be a blockbuster year for the WWE and possibly its best ever. And I don't really feel it's quite lived up to that. So in that regard, it's been somewhat of a disappointment. But I'd say overall, an average year. I mean, there's been some, you know, good stuff, some really good stuff, and some stuff that's been disappointing. So that in the summary is my view on WWE for 2017.
And Guy, what about yourself then?
I think it's been quite a poor year, really. Certainly the main card hasn't had as many memorable moments for me than in previous years. And I think it kind of, I don't want to go into specifics, but it kind of started off like very early on in the year when Kevin Owens lost the Universal title, and then it's kind of been a bit more part-timey and a bit more experimenty with crap champions for promotional reasons. I think it's been a really weird year for probably money-making schemes that have really affected the on-air product.
Well, yeah, I think there's some very good points in there. So let's get into the first category, which is TV show. Which one of the TV shows out of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and 205 as well, which of them do you think, which did you rate as the best, Guy?
Well, it's not 205, is it?
Don't be giving it away.
I'll go with Raw, because I think last year SmackDown was comfortably the better one. I mean, you had AJ, Cena, everyone right in tandem, and then this year it's Raw's just took over. I mean, you've had the emergence of Braun, you've had the Shield getting back together. It's just been a lot more consistent and a lot better. And I think it had the deeper roster, and you've seen fresher stuff apart from coming in the last few weeks is that Jordan's fought literally everyone. But yeah, Raw for me, I think it's just been fresher throughout the year, whereas SmackDown, we've all seen the feuds multiple times. It's a bit boring.
Yeah. And Moore, would you agree with that, or have you got a different pick?
Yeah, I have to agree with Guy. I have to go with Raw as well. And I'm surprised, actually, because when we had the revamp kind of roster or brand extension or expansion or whatever they call it these days, but the shuffling around of the Raw and SmackDown rosters, I actually thought that SmackDown came out of it stronger. And so I thought for the remainder of 2017, SmackDown would be comfortably the better show. But it hasn't turned out that way. You know, I think Raw has been the more consistent show from a match quality perspective, surprisingly. I think they've certainly had the better shows. We had a lot of really good matches over the last several months. Storyline-wise, it's been tighter. And I feel that they've had the more interesting characters as well. I think the SmackDown brand and the show have suffered a lot by having the focal point of the show being Jinder Mahal. You know, he arguably shouldn't even be in the company. He's that poor. And yet they put the title on him for the bulk of 2017, which was just mind-boggling, really. So it was something that I thought held back the whole of SmackDown. And in the meantime, Raw turned out to be really strong. And, you know, the likes of Braun Strowman certainly were quite key to that.
Yeah, I've got to say, a full house from me on Raw. I think it, for all the reasons you've both suggested, it has been a better show this year, pretty much comfortably, actually. But let's get to the fun part of it. Who was worse? More? Which of the shows did you have down as the worst one this year in 2017, if I can get my words out?
Yeah, I'd have to go with 205 Live. And it actually got to the point where, you know, in recent times I've just had to stop watching it because, you know, 24 hours is precious time and, you know, I can do better things with it, such as scratching my backside than
the biggest surprise is that you actually watched it.
I've got to say, I got to that point at about week three.
Same.
yeah. It was just so disappointing. After what we were treated to with the Cruiserweight Classic in 2016, it felt like they could do something really good with, you know, this new concept that they launched earlier in the year with 205 Live. But everything that made the Cruiserweight Classic so good, they decided to eradicate and do something completely different with 205 Live. And I'm just surprised that it's still going because it just has proven to be an unmitigated disaster.
And Guy, can I almost second guess that you're going to be in agreement here?
Well, technically, can I give it to 205 Live? Because I've not watched it. I can't it's judge that it. Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's that bad you can't even watch it.
Yeah, it has to be 205 Live just because I've had no interest in watching it, even when the thought of putting the brainstorming idea of making Enzo the champion and pissing off all the good talent. Who would have thought that didn't work?
Yeah, who would have thought the Zo train would not be a great God. Idea?
Yeah, I think that's the first time a British person said that. Good God. Yeah, 205 Live, and I can't give you reasons why, but I imagine it's painful to watch, and I have no reason to watch it. At least SmackDown has given us some moments, and admittedly, I don't watch NXT as much as I should, but NXT's seemingly done a very good job of recreating itself after losing Finn Balor and everyone else. It seemed to have done well in remaking itself by losing quite a bit of the roster.
Yeah, I'm going to go full house again on 205. There were two people who I would watch it for or who I would watch part of it for, and neither of them are on there right now. One left the company and the other one wants to leave the company. So that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about 205 Live, and we'll leave it at that. So let's get into the actual matches then. Moore, what did you pick out as your best match of 2017?
Well, for me, it was close between two matches. One was the four-way at SummerSlam, but in the end, I've gone with John Cena against AJ Styles from the Royal Rumble. Thought it was an exceptional match, arguably a classic match, one of the very, very best matches John Cena's ever had, and he's had many great ones. Just a phenomenal back and forth singles match, and you know, it really lit up that whole event. And AJ Styles and John Cena at their absolute peak.
And Guy, I mean, I don't think we've had a Kane, Aiden English, and what's his face, Drifter. Elias triple threat match yet. So what was your favourite match of 2017?
Mine was going to be the same, so that technically is what I vote for, so count that as 2 out of 3. But I'd like to do a shout out for Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bates. I can't remember which NXT it was. I think it was San Antonio. Don't quote me on that, but when Pete Dunne won the UK Championship, that was just a phenomenal match. And it was more recent, so it's probably fresher in the memory, but that was fantastic, and it really highlighted, the UK thing on NXT has just been excellent every time it's been on screen, but that match was just, it highlighted everything good with NXT and with what can happen when Triple H has control. that was fantastic. But yeah, AJ versus, you know, was special, and that was a perfect way to start the year. And the WWE Championship has been shit since.
Well, I can echo the sentiments of both of you that both of those matches you've talked about, they were absolutely superb. They were top draw. They were phenomenal drama and entertainment and artistry and everything that you want from wrestling match. I'm going to go a little off here. And you know what I'm going to pick out? I'm going to pick out the War Games match. And not necessarily for behave. That might get a mention just yet. Anyway, but purely for it, you know, having so much to live up to, and not only delivering but over delivering, and I just really enjoyed it. And I just thought it was everything was done, you know, pitch perfect. It was fantastic. So I'm gonna give my nod to the War Games match because I thought that was fantastic. So let's go to worst. So time for a bit of fun. And Guy, you've mentioned Punjabi Prison match. Did that get your worst, your vote for worst for 2017?
It was going to, and then something flashed into my mind when I said WWE Championship match. So we're going to go to WrestleMania. And that was the worst thing I've ever seen in every aspect of it. The wrong person won. So Randy Orton beat Bray Wyatt. They had that weird thing where the cockroaches and all that crap came on the ring. And Randy Orton was the most boring WWE champion since Jinder Mahal. it just, everything was wrong with that match. I mean, the feud was interesting but bland. It had its Bray Wyatt perks, and I'm a bigger fan of Bray Wyatt than both of you, I imagine. That's probably why I wanted Bray Wyatt to win that, but yeah, that match just was wrong in every sense of the word, and that was the big dark spot on that year's WrestleMania, which was probably one of the best in recent times. But that match sucked a lot of arse.
It certainly did suck, big style. Moore, was it bad enough to get your vote as well, or have you got a new contender?
No, I actually wrote down the exact same one. It was, you know, the pitch, the absolute pitch, the whole stuff with the stuff we saw on the canvas. Cool kind of special effects, but, you know, in a show like WrestleMania, especially in a title match, just seemed out of place and, you know, really added nothing to the match. And, you know, it just really firmed up my views on Bray Wyatt. And I'll talk a little bit more about him later on. or another award, but yeah.
I'm already getting as to which one that is.
Superstar of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say Breakout Star of the Year, but you know. Yeah.
Oh, disappointed, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, it was woeful. And Guy mentioned the Punjabi prison match. That was awful. You know, that really was awful. But yeah, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, the feud didn't work the first time. Why they thought building it the exact same way again the second time round, you know, people in the same positions and having a title involved in it. Oh my God, disgraceful. Go on.
Do you remember the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale?
Erased that from my memory.
The last three people in that were Jinder Mahal, Mojo Rawley, and Gronk from some football team.
Gronk.
G-R. Gronk. Something like that. Remember?
Gronk.
Yeah.
Sounds like a character off a TV show.
Yeah. So, that isn't my worst, but that needed special mention because that was horrendous.
In fact, Gronk, isn't that a droid in one of the Star Wars movies?
Oh, good God.
Jesus.
Of all the criticism Last Jedi's got, I mean, that's probably the worst thing about Star Wars.
Oh, leave Star Wars alone anyway.
I leave it alone. It's just getting criticism.
Okay. Let's move things along to a different one then. I've got one for you. What about feud then? I mean, we've talked about Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton there. Would you give that as your worst feud of 2017, Guy?
No, I think the feud wasn't as bad as the ones I'm going to mention, because I think it kind of worked well. It worked as well as it could until it got to the actual matches. And then they obviously had that horrendous House of Horrors match thingy after WrestleMania as well. But my worst feud of the year is Jinder vs. Randy, because that destroyed SmackDown for so many months. And it just sucked the life out of the main event, whereas when it was Bray versus Randy, for me at least, as I said earlier, I'm a bigger fan of Bray than used to, it wasn't as boring and it wasn't as horrendous as that. Like, when Jinder became champion, them months were just absolutely... That's when SmackDown just fell off a cliff.
A torturous, I think, is probably the way to describe it. Your worst feud of 2017, would it be one of them two that we've mentioned?
No, I'm actually going to go for AJ versus Kevin Owens.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah, controversial. It was obviously not as bad as, you know, some of the feuds we saw with some of the atrocious undercard talent, but I thought it was just so disappointing. You know, it just really didn't click, and they really didn't come together like I expected them to, and they gave it, you know, a number of months, and it just didn't work. It just really didn't come together, and you know, that's what was so disappointing. So I really couldn't look beyond that, because, you know, the hopes I had for it were so high, and you know, that's also what let SmackDown down in 2017, is that you know, that was a focal point on that show outside of Jinder doing whatever he was up to. And, you know, that stuff between AJ and Kevin Owens should have offset the, you know, the vomit-inducing stuff that we were treated to from Jinder, and it didn't. And that was part of the reason why SmackDown didn't really deliver in 2017 on the whole.
Well, I'm going to go something a bit left field of that. I'm going to go for something very, very special. Enzo Mori versus Kalisto.
Good God.
Yeah. Yep. We, you know, Enzo needed a new a new opponent, so they're going to bring somebody in. It's Kalisto. Jesus Christ.
You know what tips in the scale for that? It's the fact that it was meant to be Neville as well, and then this kind of started when he left.
Hey, I don't
Changing
know.
One flippy guy for another.
One flippy guy. Oh, I'd be flipping him all day long. Away you go. Anyway, let's move things along. Right, pay-per-view event. Come on, what was the best event of the year for you then, Mo? Which one did you think was the best?
So I in the end went for SummerSlam. I thought, yes, it was a long show when you consider the pre-show as well, but it had several really, really good matches and topped off by fantastic, phenomenal main event. You know, it just was a show that had a little bit of everything, and I really, really enjoyed it despite how long it went. So I really couldn't pick out any other. And by the way, I went for a main roster show. You might have gone for something from NXT, but for me, in terms of main roster, was the show of 2017.
Interesting choice. Guy, have you got something different?
This was a weird one for me, because I'm not sure if there's better shows than this, but I went for the one that was most memorable to me, which I'd probably translate to best. So I went for NXT San Antonio, and just to refresh people's memories, this is when Ciampa turned on Johnny Gargano. So that was probably... That's probably what tipped it in the scale for me. That was the most memorable moment of the year for me. And I think that was probably one of the most well-booked moments. And on the rest of the pay-per-view, there was Bobby Roode Nakamura, where Bobby Roode beat him. The Fatal 4-Way for the women's title. Roderick Strong versus Andre Almas. And then it was Eric Young versus Ty Dillinger. So it wasn't the most stacked card, but it was very enjoyable. And when I thought, I could have obviously Googled and seen what was the best card, but what I remembered was that pay-per-view. So I went with that one.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I do think SummerSlam was the best show of the year. Overall quality, card, everything, like Mo said, that for me was the best show of the year. But I've got it in terms of most memorable. I've got to say that War Games one certainly does stick out. And I think in terms of a show that over delivered, I've got to say War Games for me really did over deliver. You know, we kind of expected something from it, but we looked at the rest of the card and maybe didn't hold up too much hope. But I think as an overall event, it massively over delivered. So I've got to kind of give props to that, but kind of also in the same way at the same time agree with more at the SummerSlam was just it really was a superb event. It was fantastic. And you know, in talking best, I negated to ask you what you felt was the best feud of 2017, Guy.
Best feud, I think it'd be easy to go Roman versus Braun, but I went for Joe versus Brock because that was the best booked feud I've seen. It was so enjoyable. It was like nothing I've seen in years. And it really, you see the results with Joe now that he's the best heel in the company, probably, or stereotypical heel where he just beats the crap out of people. So I'd go with that. I think that kind of started Joe's well, it helped fix the damage with the crappy Seth Rollins feud where he injured him, and then it's just been magic since. And him, Paul Heyman, and Brock, it was just fantastic.
I like that. That's a good shout. Mo, have you got anything different to that one?
I'm going with Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. I thought that the way they built up to it, the execution of it, especially the turn. Though, in fact, was the turn in 2016 or was it just into 2017? I can't quite remember now. But
it was because Royal Rumble, Owens was still champion, I think. And then,
right.
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was 2017 when the Festival of Friendship.
Yeah. And then, obviously, you know, the big match was at WrestleMania. And I thought the match itself was was very good. Perhaps not as good as it could have been, which was, as I mentioned earlier, perhaps a common theme with Kevin Owens in 2017. But no, I certainly thought that and there was a lot of really, really fun stuff that came out of that one. So I was very impressed by it and thought they both did some really good work during that feud.
Yeah, the Festival of Friendship was special. And not just, you know, for being memorable for the way it presented and obviously Chris Jericho being Chris Jericho, but the reveal, the way it was done, it was just inch perfect. And it was perfection in terms of what wrestling can give you and can present something. It's so different, and it was perfection. Actually, I'd say it goes so far as to say it was a special moment in WWE history, the way it was done. So that was fantastic. But I think, you know what, I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to go with Guy on this one and go with Joe versus Brock for the way it was built. Hats off to them, and it was perfect. And I love the way that Paul Heyman played up Joe massively as an opponent. It was just absolutely tremendous stuff from Paul Heyman and from everyone involved. It really was. Now we mentioned our best shows of the year. So this is the bit I was looking forward to, getting to our worst show more. Which one of the pay-per-view
events? Should we all say the same thing in 3 seconds?
More, because I certainly got mine in mind. which one of the pay-per-view events this year did you think was the worst?
It's not even a debate, is it? It's Battleground. God, I mean, it started off so well. I mean, we had Aiden English pulling off a surprise win over Ty Dillinger in the pre-show, and a really good match with, you know, New Day against the Usos. Really, really good tag match. And then it went downhill, and boy, did it go downhill. You know, like Nakamura, Baron Corbin was a big disappointment. We had a pretty flat, you know, five-way elimination women's match. Owens against AJ Styles was a disappointment. Cena versus Rusev was okay, but, you know, it really was the wrong person winning that one. Sami Zayn against Mike Kanellis, just meh. And then the icing on the cake was the Punjabi prison match, which was well on course to be the worst match in the history of mankind until the great Khali turned up. And you know, it then was just a really bad match run, an all-time bad match. But it was just one of those shows where by the end of it, you were thinking, why do I even bother with this stuff? Luckily we haven't had too many shows like that in 2017.
And Guy, surely you couldn't have gone for Battleground as well?
I have. It was amazingly bad. Yeah, I can't even. I'm looking through the card now. I can't remember any of it apart from the tag team match and Aiden English, obviously, because he's a hero. Like when you said Nakamura fighting Corbin, I had no idea that match happened. Oh, the flag match. Yeah, that was crap as well.
Yes.
Yeah, this is great. This is when you stopped watching, wasn't it? Or you got rid of your network connection?
Thing. Yeah, this was the event that made me cancel my subscription. I did renew it a couple of weeks later. It didn't take long. I must admit, the TV massively improved, which made me give it another chance, and it's been better since. But yeah, this event was so bad, I actually ended my subscription. That's how bad this was. So there couldn't be any other winner or loser in terms of this award. Just absolutely dreadful. So yeah, there it goes. Now, actually, you know, one mentioned that there was one bright spot on there being the tag team match. So let's go to tag team of the year. In my mind, probably only a couple of contenders for this. Guy, who would you have down as your best tag team of 2017?
My favourite one is the Bar, but I went for the Usos because they're just so consistent. And they're always there or thereabouts, especially on SmackDown. And they just put on great match after great match. I mean, we're just talking about Battleground there. They were on the pre-show, and, well, I know it was the shittest pay-per-view ever, but they bloody overshadowed a whole pay-per-view whilst on the pre-show. That takes some doing. I mean, maybe Feud of the Year should have gone to Usos versus New Day, but we've gone there now. But that's definitely up there. And yeah, Usos for me. Fantastic year for them. That's especially coming from me, who thought the heel turn wouldn't work because I wasn't that arsed about them.
So Guy's gone for Usos as his tag team of 2017. What about yourself?
It was a very, very tough one because for me it was between them and the Bar, but in the end I've gone with the Bar. I thought that they've been one of the key reasons why Raw has been such a good show over the last few months, consistently delivering. Cesaro's just been an absolute superstar, whether it's in tag matches or singles.
He's
just been lighting up that show and... you know, he sacrificed his front teeth for us. So, you know, we have to recognize that some way or somehow. So, you know, for me, tag team of the year, no question.
Yeah, I've got to say, Bludgeon Brothers were definitely close to getting it. But in the end, yeah, it was, I think it's quite clear. It's between the Bar and...
Mr. Raj.
And the Usos. And I've got to say, yeah, as good as the Usos have been, and they have been brilliant and consistent, like you mentioned, I think the Bar have been just as consistent. And not only that, but I think the way that they've embraced their tag team and they've got themselves over so massively, their style, the way they mesh together, the matches that they've been having with various different opponents of different styles, I think they've been an absolute revelation to the tag team division on Raw. So they're also my winners for tag team of the year. Let's flip that coin then. Worst tag team of 2017. It feels a bit mean doing this, but Guy, if the Usos were your best, who were your worst?
Good God, this is a tough one. I'm not sure if there hasn't been that many bad tag teams. I mean, I could easily go for the temporary run of Randy Orton and Nakamura. They should be in the question for the best tag team, but I'll go with the Revival. Obviously, they've been injured and stuff like that, but when they came up, they were probably one of the most exciting things coming from NXT, and obviously for out of ring reasons and injuries and stuff like that, they've just not been there. So I'll go for the Revival, because I think this is a tough question, because tag teams tend to do well. I mean, I could go for like the Colognes or something like that, but you know, why would I? So I'll go for the Revival, because they've not had a chance to make the impact that we know they can do, and hopefully next year is their year.
Oh, very controversial. Mo, have you got someone different in mind?
Not them, that's for sure. I thought... Yeah, I mean, that had a disappointing year because of injury, but, you know, they're just a heck of a tag team. And, you know, I wouldn't personally say that they were the worst tag team. I went with someone completely different. For me, it was actually an obvious candidate. It's the Ascension. They continue to somehow exist on the main roster. I don't know quite how.
Not a fan of Fashion Police, though.
No. I mean, they tried to turn him into a comedy act this year, and you know, maybe one skit in the whole of 2017 might have been funny involving them, but that was about it. The rest of it was a weak attempt at humour. In the ring, didn't really add much, didn't really do much. I'm just surprised they've made it all the way through till end of 2017. Still on the company's payroll.
Hype Bros. Forgot about Hype Bros.
That's my vote. You can't
take
my vote.
I forgot about them. They're crap.
Yeah, I've got to ask it as well. Is one of the members of the Ascension on hunger strike or something?
He might well be.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, we know one of them's massive, but the other guy, I don't, you know, I know the Conor and Victor. I don't know which is which.
Victor's the one with the long hair, the skinny one.
Yeah, where you say long at the back, not on the top, obviously.
Yeah.
I know he was never as big, but, you know, Gordon Bennett, the guy looks like, you know, he must have lost about 50 pounds or something, has he? It looks like there's virtually nothing left on him.
Well, maybe he's worried about failing wellness tests or something and being ultra cautious, but...
just ready for that singles run.
Yeah. Or it might just be that the other one, what's the other guy's name?
Connor.
Maybe Connor's getting even bigger and making Victor look even smaller. Maybe that might be as well.
Oh my God. Maybe they're eating each other's talent now. Well, oh, good grief. They've been terrible. And that's the thing with WWE. They seem obsessed with turning everyone into a comedy act, which is just too much for me. But yeah, Hype Bros, just awful. And thankfully now they are done until we get the revival next year, possibly. That's if they're both still working for the company by then, but that's another matter. So let's move it on from tag teams to what about the female performers then, more? Who, we'll start with worst, actually. We'll get the negative ones done first. Who do you think has been the worst female performer of 2017?
Well, this might come as a shock to regular listeners, but after close consideration, I've gone with Tamina.
really?
Yeah. I know you sound
I
shocked.
I thought you were a big fan.
Well, yeah, I've had a change of heart with her. She's just a complete waste of a roster spot. Adds nothing to this company or to the SmackDown Women's Division whatsoever. No charisma, no personality. Again, they've tried to do some comedy stuff with her and Lana. Hasn't, on the whole, worked at all. And why she's still with the company, I just have no idea.
Hang on a minute more. Comedy? They tried to do comedy with her? I must have missed that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was that comedy that wasn't that funny kind of comedy.
Was that an attempt at comedy?
Apparently.
Jesus, that's even worse than I realised.
Allegedly, yeah. So people have claimed. So,
oh my
it
God.
Was just, yeah.
She's even worse than I thought.
Yeah, it was the pits, it really was. The less said, the better, actually. I'm wasting, again, time talking about somebody that I really shouldn't be wasting time talking on. So, Tamina.
Yeah, and Guy, oxygen is precious. Is it Tamina?
Yeah, I couldn't think of anyone else.
Yeah, I almost feel sorry for her now because she's got a full house. At least she's won something anyway. She's won an award. She can take that with her.
That's a Hall of Fame moment right there.
Yeah, take that on the way out. See you later. So positives then, Guy. Come on, who would you rate as being the best female wrestler of 2017?
I went with Alexa Bliss. I think she really carried SmackDown's women division for a good while. Then she came on to Raw, and she's kind of doing the same. And I think Charlotte was on course for it, but her SmackDown run's just not been that good, and I think Alexa's year as a whole has just been a lot more consistent and a lot more interesting.
Okay, how are you on that one? Do you feel that Alexa Bliss has, no pun intended, dwarfed the impact of Charlotte?
Oh, yeah, I have to go with Alexa. As a worker, you know, she's not even one of the top four females in, you know, the main roster. But she certainly improved in leaps and bounds during 2017. Personality-wise, charisma-wise, really has something, has presence, is over with the audience, and a great, great heel, and somebody I really enjoy watching. So for me, that was certainly one of the easier picks, Alexa Bliss all the way.
Yeah, I've got to say, full house from me on that. Definitely an easy pick. She really has risen to the challenge hugely. She's been outstanding every aspect of it. She's, like Guy said, you know, she's practically covered. Call it covered. She's practically carried the two shows she's been on. The way that she's taken the mantle is massively impressive. On the microphone, character, in-ring work is improving as well. So, absolutely, all-round congratulations to Alexa Bliss as a standout female performer of 2017. So, what about the male side of it then, Moore? Who would you have down as... We'll go with the negatives again. We'll get the negatives out of the way so we can go move on to the positives on this one. What about the male singles performer?
Well, I'll have to upset Guy here and go with Bray Wyatt.
Wyatt was... Elias, though. We're going to have words.
No. You can't not love somebody who plays a guitar and sings in such an impressive way. Bray Wyatt, no personality, promos that just bore me to tears, poor in the ring, and absolutely not deserving of the push he had in 2017. And at least I think we're reaching the point now that the company realizes that there's no hope with him, and trying to phase him down into mid-card obscurity. So, at least if there's one positive to say about Bray, it's that his career prospects are not looking good for 2018. But for me, again, that was one of the easier picks. He's just a standout poor performer, consistently poor throughout the year.
And Guy, have you gone for the novelty act that was Bray Wyatt in 2013 that he's been repeating throughout 14, 15, 16 and 17?
No, Bray actually had a couple nice moments. I think he had a good match with AJ and John Cena before, and then Elimination Chamber was all right. Whereas Jinder was just an absolute horrendous shit show throughout, and it destroyed a show. It basically destroyed a show single-handedly, so I've got to go with Jinder. No fault of his own, he just shouldn't have been in that position, but unfortunately for him, his title run made SmackDown basically what it used to be, where it was just something, it was literally the extra 2 hours of Raw where nobody give a shit and watched it. So yeah, I'll have to go with Jinder.
Okay, I think there's a fair argument in there, certainly for both.
Yeah.
My personal pick is Enzo Amore. I've gone well beyond the point where his microphone stuff was interesting and slightly entertaining. You see it week in, week out. It was the same shtick every single week to the point where, yeah, pretty much bored of it now. And there's nothing else to it. We're finding that there's nothing else to the character. His in-ring work is just awful. And it seems to be that he's not a particularly popular guy behind the scenes, because what we're seeing on screen as a heel character is pretty much what we're getting behind the scenes. So all round for me, Enzo Morey, the worst performer of 2017. And he's beat some competition to do that anyway. So
definitely a good show.
Well, you know, it has come from me. as for best then guy, come on, who was your best for 2017?
I think it was between two people for me. Braun and AJ. I think Braun's been so much fun on Raw throughout the whole year. But AJ got match of the year for me. And he's just whenever he's been on SmackDown, he's been somewhat of a savior. I know he had a disappointing feud with Kevin Owens, but his match quality and that he's now saving it again. He can literally carry a show on his own. So I'll have to go with AJ because he's been in difficult circumstances, but I think he's just been excellent whenever he's been in a put in an opportunity to have excellent matches apart from Kevin Owens.
More guy putting up a good argument there for AJ Styles as his best for 2017. Have you gone for the same?
Yes, I have. Yep, AJ for me as well. Very, very good in the ring. I certainly came across as a credible champion whenever he held the belt. I think it was really testament to his ability that he had that match against Brock Lesnar at the Survivor Series, and Brock couldn't have done more to put him over and almost portray him as an equal, which for somebody who's, you know, some 7 inches shorter and a good 80 or so pounds lighter, it's not the sort of thing you normally expect Brock Lesnar to do, is to put somebody much smaller over in that kind of way. But he did out of respect, because he rates him so highly as a top class worker. And you know, that match they had at that show was, you know, certainly one of Brock's best singles matches since his return to the WWE some 4 or 5 years ago. And he really, really shone. And you know, that was a lot down to AJ Styles. And throughout the year, consistently strong on pay-per-views, on TV, good on, you know, on interviews, fine storyline performer. Very good shout by a guy with Braun. Very different type of talent, obviously, but you know, really impressive all throughout the year and got over superbly well. He's a bona fide main event act, and you know, that's down to, you know, hard work, and obviously helps that he's the size he is, which always goes down well with the owner of the company. But you know, that alone isn't enough to you know, get you by these days, and you know, he's certainly delivered when he has to in the ring, and now he's also a very good shout as well.
Yeah, look, in terms of AJ Styles, I'm a massive fan. I've been a massive fan of AJ Styles since the first time I saw him, you know, which is over a decade ago now. I think he is, you know, pun intended, phenomenal. He really is phenomenal. For me, one of the all-time greats. It truly is one of the all-time greats. If not the best performer in the world, it got to be in the top two. Incredible talent. Improved massively on the microphone as well. As Guy mentioned, he is the savior of SmackDown, really. He is that show. He's immense. But I'm going to, just to be different, I'm going to go with Braun, just because I think he's continued to rise. You know, his star has continued to rise, and that's despite the poorly booked show against Brock Lesnar. The way he's improved is, you know, hard work, dedication, and it, above all else, you know, you can be massive and you can be booked to win and look like a monster, but if the crowd don't take to you, if you don't have something about you, a special kind of charisma about you, the crowd won't connect with you, and you can be booked to win all you want, but they won't get behind you and make a difference. And he has something about him, and the crowd have just taken to him, and he's organically ended up becoming a baby face just because the crowd are so behind him. So I think he's had a fantastic year, and I'm going to give him my nod, even though I do recognize that AJ Styles is just unbelievable. He really is. So before we get towards the end, a couple of things left, couple of ones left. Let's have our breakout star. Who do you think has been a breakout star of 2018, Mo?
Well, 17 even.
Oh, 17, I should say, yeah. I'm only a year ahead of myself.
Yeah, that's it. I'm actually going to go with Braun for this award because I felt I had to recognise him for one of the awards. Even though obviously he didn't debut in the company during 2017, and his push did start towards the latter end of 2016, it was 2017 that he really broke through as I said earlier, bona fide headline act and main eventer. Now, this was a year when, you know, he really could have disappeared without trace. You know, obviously the company decided to give him a big, big push. But we've seen it countless times in the past where the company's really gotten behind a talent, pushed them very strongly, and they've not been able to kind of live up to the hype, live up to the expectations that you know, Vince or others have had of them, and you know, they've sunk. Ron swam, and he swam, you know, and swam and swam, and that's why, you know, Strowman is still one of the integral parts of the WWE as we close out 2017, because he really broke through and hung in there and very much felt like a staple part of the main event echelon. And you know, the work he put in on his in-ring is also something that cannot be underestimated. He certainly came into the year as somebody who seemed like a limited in-ring performer, and yet he's taken part in several, you know, exceptional matches. And, you know, he certainly, you know, fulfilled his part of the bargain by playing a key part in those matches, and came on in leaps and bounds in the ring. One of the most improved in-ring performers in the WWE. For a guy of his size, that makes it all the more special. So for me, he was the breakout star by a long way.
Okay, Guy, Moore went with a bit of a cheeky twist on breakout star. So what about yourself? Who have you picked out?
Yeah, mine would have been Braun as well, for an extra cheeky twist. But in terms of having a breakout moment, I'm going to have to go with Velveteen Dream against Aleister Black at War Games. That was such a fantastic moment. I never saw him before, and that feud just kind of grabbed me, and that match was absolutely fantastic. So I'll go with Braun, but with a nod to Velveteen Dream in terms of having a breakout moment.
Yeah, you know, that's a good shout with Velveteen Dream. I felt that that moment was a bit of a, you know, a star is born here, or potentially a star is born. I guess we'll have to see if he can follow it up. In terms of a breakout star, I'm gonna go with one that I actually thought you might pick, Guy, and that is Elias. I think
he's for the next question, Andy.
that question's coming later, what you're expecting. Now, yeah, I think, look, the gimmick is fun, but I think what he's done is the version of the gimmick he was given in NXT, I think he's taken that, he's embraced it, and they've pushed it further. They've gone back to the thing that The Rock was doing years ago with the Rock concert, if you can remember that. And he's doing that, and he's doing it so well. The crowd are joining in. It's such an easy one to get a reaction from the crowd, but he's doing it so well. He's even having some pretty decent matches now. So he's just, you know, he was only meant to be, I guess, just somewhat a filler on the card, you know, just another body out there. And somehow he's just really got himself over. So I'm gonna give him the nod with the Breakout Star of 2017 award. So there you go. On to terms of something a bit more negative. So what about your most disappointing moment of 2017, Guy? Was there anything that was, you know, where maybe you had high hopes and a wrestler or an event just massively under-delivered for you?
Shinsuke Nakamura, just on the whole. I thought he'd be championing with AJ as the saviour of SmackDown, and he's just been an absolute non-factor since he came up. I don't know if that's through just poor booking, which obviously he has been, but he's been very, very poorly booked. I can't really remember one match from him this year, on the main card, I should say. He's just really suffered from, well, he lost to Jinder, he apparently had a match with Corbin at Battleground, I can't remember. Now he's been in this Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan thing. He's just had such a disappointing year from what was a very hyped, shortish spell in NXT compared to some others. I thought he'd explode on the scene, but yeah, he's just been so poorly booked, and from day one with his feud with Ziggler onwards, it's just not worked. But hopefully 2018 does fix that. But yeah, Nakamura for me, let down.
And Mo, what about you for your biggest disappointment of 2017?
Yeah, I was strongly considering Nakamura as well, but in the end I went with Finn Balor. Finn, when he had that very brief run when he won the Universal Championship last year, when he came back, I thought, right, this is fantastic. Had really, really high hopes that he'd pick up from where he left off and become a integral part of Raw, and it really hasn't panned out like that whatsoever. Got involved in that feud with Bray Wyatt that just wouldn't end and completely sucked the life out of Finn Balor and, you know, the momentum from his career as well, and hasn't really recovered at all. And on top of that, the company, clearly, well, certain parts of the company at the upper echelons have a downer on him because, you know, he's not very good on promos. And, you know, he's not the only one. I mean, there are others that have occupied or do occupy prominent positions on the card who are not good or strong on promos either. But
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, quite. You know, as Paul Heyman used to say, it's all about accentuating the positives and hiding the weaknesses, and that's something that WWE chooses or maybe unintentionally decide not to do with Finn. And you know, it just consistently highlights the fact that he's not a great promo. And as a result, anyway, Finn Balor has not been able to deliver anything like what we know he can, because the company hasn't allowed him to fulfill his potential on Raw. And you know, if anyone can do with a change of scenery, it is him.
I'm going to take that kind of theme actually and go with my biggest disappointment has been the booking of so many of the former NXT talents. And you've mentioned Balor. You can also go with Nakamura, as Guy's mentioned, and Bobby Roode, and even go so far as to say Sasha Banks, Bayley. You know, these talents that have come up with NXT with so much promise, they did so well there, they were booked so well there, we saw their in-ring talent, so many of them have come up onto the main roster, and the booking and presentation of them has just been woeful. So I'm not going to point the finger at blame at them, obviously, the way that they've been handled and presented, for me, really, really lets them down. So for me, that has been my disappointment, because they're almost booking them into boredom. And that is such a shame when you look at the combined talent that I've mentioned there. So that's been my real disappointment of 2017. On to our final main category before I'll ask you a little question before we go out, and that is the moment of 2017. So Mo, we'll go with best first. What was your best moment of 2017?
There's only one. It's return the Hardy Boys at WrestleMania. What a moment. Incredible reaction. One of the all-time great WrestleMania moments. If that building had a roof, it really would have literally blown off the building, because the reaction was nuclear, amazing, and it was something that was really, really special. And Now, if you're Matt or Jeff and you get a reaction like that in front of 70 or 1,000 people, that just must have been a very, very special feeling. So for me, that's the moment of 2017.
And Guy, what about you for moment of 2017?
Yeah, I think it's hard to look past that. I'll just bring back up one I mentioned earlier, Ciampa turning on Gargano. I think that was very memorable, especially for an NXT show. I mean, stuff like that can get overshadowed by WrestleMania moments. But yeah, I think it's hard to look past the Hardys returning. But yeah, I'll give them a nod for Ciampa and Gargano.
That's fair. You know what? Yeah, the Hardys, fantastic moment, amazing pop, and Ciampa, Gargano, the way that they executed that turn when it was way past what you'd have expected, I thought that was rather special, and that was a supreme moment. But I'm going to pick out a different one. I'm going to go for Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon, because it was a bit special, and it was a glimpse into just what Kevin Owens can be. So that for me was my best moment of 2017. What about worst then, Guy? Come on, what was your worst moment?
This is kind of a sad one. I think it's the Undertaker versus Roman Reigns match when Undertaker failed to do the tombstone spot, if I remember correctly.
The flub.
Yeah, it was just a bit sad, and I don't know if that was his last match or not, because there is all those rumours going about. But if it is the way to go, it just kind of made him look like an old man. I know he's not looked the same in previous years, but that was kind of the moment you're just like, no, it's gone, it's time. It was just a bit sad.
Yeah, it certainly was a sad moment, and more. Would you echo that one, or have you got something different for your worst moment of 2017?
Yeah, I have. The worst moment of 2017 is actually a tie, and it's a tie between every time Bray Wyatt appeared on TV.
You are so harsh.
am I detecting that you're not a fan of Bray Wyatt?
I could be more fond of him. Perhaps fair to say that.
Yeah, for Christmas, I'm getting you a Bray Wyatt shirt.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where I have to fast forward to the next segment. I don't even want to listen to him. If he's involved in a match, I just want to watch it as quickly as possible. It's just really, really hard for me to watch the guy, because he just
does.
That
mean you've not seen Walken Hardy yet?
I have. And that stuff was certainly good. But again, had to almost blank out the fact that Bray Wyatt was involved.
Go on then. What's it tied with? It must be special.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Every single moment.
Right. Oh, I get you now. Yeah.
Oh, I get you.
Wow. that's...
probably about 100 different occasions, and they're all equal.
That's so harsh.
You know, I'm kind of torn between the moment that Enzo Amore won the Cruiserweight Championship as the worst moment of the year. The moment that Jinder Mahal won the WWE Championship, and that Undertaker moment that you talked about, because it was that sad realization. I mean, I know this was two tired guys at this point, but yeah, there was just no sort of lift, was there? It was, no pun intended, a dead weight that Roman Reigns was trying to lift at that point, and it was a sad realization, if you weren't already at that point, you know, that this legendary performer was now, you know, just a mortal old man. And that was really painful to see as a long-term fan to see that guy at that point. It was really, really sad, and not the way that you want to see him go out So yeah, it was definitely a sad moment. But anyway, that, you know, there we are, 2017. It's been quite a year. Some good, some bad, some ups and downs, some pretty diabolical, but some great moments mixed in there as well. Before we go though, guys, I'm going to ask you for a prediction for 2018. Who's going to be our, you know, we've talked about a breakout star for 2017, but who do you think is going to be the breakout star of 2018? Who's going to be the guy that, or the female performer that we're all talking about next year then, Guy?
I think he can go through a couple. I mean, we brought up Elias earlier. I think he'll go on to have a surprisingly good career. I'm not sure if it'll be main event or not. I think Jordan or Gable, one of them will be a superstar. And one will get Marty Jannetty'd. And I think he may have been overlooked because of his injury, but I think Big Cass will come back and do big things.
Interesting. Big Cass.
I also think Cesaro might get a world title run eventually.
I think that's
more, the dream.
That's, yeah, that's more hope and dreams than reality.
Yes.
What about yourself then? Who do you think could be the breakout name that we're all talking about at the end of 2018?
Well, the name that comes to mind for me is Adam Cole, baby. He is somebody that I've really been quite keen on for quite a while. Was a real superstar in Ring of Honor. Supremely talented. Got an air of Shawn Michaels about him as well. In fact, has somewhat of a resemblance to young Shawn Michaels as well. I think in 2018, to start with, he'll become very, very prominent on NXT. I can see him certainly winning the NXT title. But then before 2018 ends, I'm very confident that he'll end up on the main roster and possibly with the other members of the Undisputed Era as well. I think he's got something about him which I think somebody like a Triple H in particular would really like. Very good in the ring, got personality, charisma, and he's somebody that I think, you know, if you certainly haven't watched NXT and haven't watched Adam Cole, certainly suggest you go out and check him out because he's quite a talent.
Just looking at his frame though, Mo, you're talking main roster or 205?
He has to be main roster. I mean, clearly he's on the smaller side, but you know, in the way that he can carry himself, I think he can certainly do stuff. And you know, he's actually not physically much different to Daniel Bryan in terms of stature. So
is this more of Vince thinking though?
Well, yeah, I mean, Vince has his way. He'll be a enhancement talent or squash boy for
be the new Dolph
Brendel.
Yeah.
I just look at his body frame and I don't see, you know, some of the guys even like Finn, you know they don't have the weight there, but the muscular definition, you know, the shoulders stick out. He doesn't really have that about him yet, so I do wonder whether they'll move him to 205 and try to make the most of his attraction, you know, by his name and his in-ring talent and his charisma and everything, try and use that as an attraction for 205 maybe.
Well, I think he'd be a really good fit on SmackDown, where it does feel that they're trying to move in that direction of having Raw as more of the sports entertainment show, where you've got a lot of the bigger, larger-than-life characters and perhaps the workers more on the SmackDown side. And if that's the case, then, you know, opposite somebody like an AJ Styles, who height-wise they're about the same height. Certainly AJ's more muscular, you know, thicker framed, but as a worker and his personality, he's got something. And you know, if Vince is persuaded to look beyond his physical appearance, I think he could really do things on SmackDown. And if he's given the push, I think he'd make the most of it.
Well, I think it's certainly an interesting shout, and there you go, guys. I mean, some things there to look out for 2018. And as I say, look, it's been a lot of fun tonight. It's been good to go back over all the happenings of 2017, whether they be good or bad. And hopefully you'll be back with us to live through them all again next year. So my thanks to Mo and to Guy for joining me tonight to go through all of this. And our thanks to all of you again for listening, as always. And we hope you do join us in the new year and continue to stay with us. It's certainly been a journey. So from everyone here at the Pro Wrestling Wrestling Index, it's a happy new year to you. All the best for the season. And we look forward to you listening again in 2018. So from me, Andy Wales, here at the Pro Wrestling Index, it's bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.